Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. And now I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is my first day. I almost broke that 7-second rule. Like, I almost did. I, like, just caught myself. Thank you for those who are still here. What else is new? Technical difficulties. That's my middle name. But want to say thank you very much for being here. Maggie? How you doing?
Do you want to tell the people how you're doing since you had all the, you know, headphones difficulties and everything? Are you doing okay? You're fine, right? Like, you're breathing.
I'm breathing.
Everything's cool. You're hydrated and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything's fine. Okay.
Yep. All good.
Yeah. It started getting really, really cold here. And today when I went to work, I almost felt the need to just, you know, put on my winter jacket, which is not usually the case during November here. And that's, you know, what normal people deal with usually. I don't mean to bring you down, Rob. But I can still hear myself after I stop talking. And when you mute your microphone, it goes away.
Okay. So we'll just do that. When you're talking, I'll hit mute.
Yes, thank you. This was, the thing that we were going to do if Rob didn't find his headphones. Now he has a pair of headphones. And we still have that, you know, that trouble. So it will help immensely if the people in the chat will tell if they can hear my voice when I'm speaking, going back when Rob's microphone isn't muted. Just so we know if this is something that we can fix on the get-go or it's not. But anyway, it's Friday. Hi, guys. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. We're sorry, you know, about the late timing, but we there's a good way we can fix all this, and it's with your money. So if you send a super chat, it's the bottom of the live YouTube chat, the little dollar sign. If you send a super chat or humper chat at humperchats.com, and send us your money. You guys can help Rob get some new headphones, which is obviously the issue here. Thank you so much for the support. Please leave a like on the video. It's the easiest way you can support us, the show, and the entire Fightful Overbrook franchise. Coexisting fans, please leave a like on the video. Also, please subscribe to youtube.com/Fightful. youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked, and last but definitely, most definitely not least, please subscribe to Fightful Overbooked. A lot of amazing interviews, a lot of scoops, a lot of Q&As that Sean does. You also get Q&As from the Grapsody boys. You also get, this week, you got your Sense of Blind review from Kate and Alex. I was finally able to join in on the live chat. It's always a pleasure. But if Rob's ready, we can start off with the wrestling, we do have a super chat from Ryan. Oh, you want me to? Okay, so Ryan says, let's get this party started. We are most definitely going to get this party started. We also got a super chat for I Make Beats. He says, Rob, get some new headphones. Yes, obviously it works. Guys, send us your support and your money so that Rob can, you know, can get some new headphones. Thank you so much for the support. We can get into some wrestling now. Rob, Crown Jewel was this week.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Except for this is one thing that needs to happen. WWE, AEW, New Japan, anything. If you have a champion, let's figure something out where you don't have to pin your champion. I don't like this. I don't like champions being pinned. Was the Cody Rhodes versus Gunther match fun? Good? Yeah. I just don't like champions getting pinned. I just don't like it. I don't think it's good. It lowers, in my opinion, that it makes the champion look bad. Even like in a tag team match, if a champion is pinned, I don't like it at all. I get why they do it story-wise, but I don't know. I mean, there's lots of things that they could have done for like this last match. I mean, even if they would have had Kevin Owens interrupt Cody, I would get it. But like, if you're going to pin your champion, you have to, in my opinion, you have to do something where your champion can't help it, you know, like he gets knocked out or something like that. That way the people know. But when you just have a straight up pin, I don't like it. Now, granted, it was a Bret Hart style pin that Bret's done a lot where he gets the upset pin. I don't care. It's the champion thing. I don't like champions being pinned. It's just my preference. I think Maggie would agree with me. Maybe it's just on this wrestler in particular, but I don't know. I just didn't like it. That's the only thing I did not like. And that goes for Nia Jax as well. I didn't want her being pinned. So that's all I have to say. I'm going to go back on mute now.
Thank you. I'm sorry that we're going to have to do the show this way. But hey, that's some good news for you. But because this problem means that I should most definitely not interrupt you. So that you have that thing going for you. I'm so sorry. Every time I said I really wish not to interrupt you, and I go ahead and do it. I'm so sorry, but I will not interrupt you this week. So you can rest assured. So Crown Jewel, I'm really sorry to say it. Usually I enjoy almost all of the premium live events done in Saudi. It's probably because I'm watching them live, but they've been pretty decent. But this one, I thought it was boring. It's just, so let's go ahead and read I Make Beats' second super chat going to Rob's new headphones. Two of my favorites took pins this week, Takeshita and Roxy. Yeah, I am mad about that. We are going to talk about NXT shortly. But yeah, it's because I hurried my ass home after work just so I can catch up to Crown Jewel instead of watching a live concert in my bar or sleeping. So I chose to watch the premium live event. And it was kind of, I don't know, it was probably me. I don't think that the majority of the wrestling fans thought that it was as bad as I thought that it was. So it's probably a me problem. But I did have a problem with each and every match of this card. But since you mentioned the Cody and Gunther match, I thought the match was really good. but it got absolutely fucking ruined by that finish. I hated the pin. I really, really hated the pin. And I also absolutely fucking hate the fact that at this point, if you get pinned by one Crossroads, you're a loser. And I said this on the Sands of Blind preview on Select. For me, one of my biggest pet peeves in wrestling is finishing moves not being protected. And it's like the Crossroads is slowly becoming the AA, because no one in the history of wrestling got pinned by one AA. So, like, I'm also kidding. There's a lot of people that got pinned by one AA, but they were losers. There you go. So this pin that Cody did. So Gunther went for the choke, and then Cody went for, you know, he spun around and got Gunther pinned. It is the same pin that pinned Shayna Baszler. Becky pinned Shayna Baszler with that same move. And Shayna Baszler is an MMA fighter. And like the thought that she could get pinned by that is repulsive. So I got a wrestling fan in my mentions, because I was pretty vocal on the Twitter machine that I absolutely hated that finisher. And a dude in my comments said that he had some wrestling training, and this was a very hard move to get away from. And what? I'm close friends with two people that have had wrestling training and MMA training, and none of them said that this was real. It's a stupid move. Granted, Cody did make it look as if he was hooking the arm for Gunther, but like in no way could Gunther not have his shoulder up. I hate that move. I will always hate it. And somehow, always my favorites get pinned by this move. Shayna Baszler, Gunther, etc. Like, it's... if you're going to do an out-of-nowhere pin, I would have been extremely happy with a good roll-up. And when I say good roll-up, I mean Jonathan Gresham levels of good roll-up. I mean, he folds you in 17 parts and he just pins you. And it's a surprise pin. Like, you're not down for a three. You're not passed out or anything. It's just a surprise roll-up folding crap thing that only Jonathan Gresham somehow does. And I know I'm probably biased here because I adore Gunther and I feel like he's the next in line to be the big thing when it comes to... being a WWE superstar wrestler or whatever you guys want to call it. And I can actually see the future in him. And granted, baby steps, but Cody pinning him this way was really, really weird. I will always give him credit where credit is due. They went with the clean route. I mean, no one got involved or anything. He basically, Cody beat Gunther clean as this fucking pin can be called. But it was clean because none of us thought that this match would have a clean ending. Either Goldberg, which was never going to be there, or Kevin Owens or something like that. And this ended up being a pretty awesome match, which for me got ruined by the ending. I was so pissed off at the end. I couldn't even tell you. But at this week's Raw, they kind of had a baby face turn for Gunther because he had a backstage segment with Kaiser. And Kaiser was like, how dare you talk about... Oh, I cannot do a German accent. I'm sorry. I tried. So he was like, how dare you talk about Gunther that way? Cody Rhodes needs to. And then Gunther cuts him off. And he says, Cody was a better man, and we should both do better from this point on. How do you feel like a potential Gunther babyface run with from here on?
I'm all for it. I'm all for it because I want to see how it goes. I think it would be good for Gunther. I think it'd actually be really good overall for a standpoint of you get another European popular wrestler, which is always good for business. I think Ludwig is one of those guys where you just want to not like that guy. You know what I mean? He just, there's something about him. He, and that's not a bad thing. It's just, he's that good at what he does. I think Gunther being a face would be really interesting. I really do. I would like it. I think it would be really well. And I Make Bets makes a good point, or Beats, sorry. I Make Bets and I lose money. Anyways, bet online. Anyways, the Kaiser is a great on the mic. He really is. He's really damn good. And I think Gunther being a face would be really interesting to see how it goes. Do I think it'll happen? I don't know. I don't know. It'll be, I mean, they did kind of show it a little bit, like you said, but I don't think it's going to happen yet.
Because it's going to be extra, can you mute yourself? It's going to be really, really weird watching Gunther as a babyface because I don't think I've ever seen that. I don't care if he's, you can obviously make him a tweener because he's just that good. He doesn't care about your favorites. He doesn't care if you're a bad guy or not. He just wants to kick your ass, you know, like the Stone Cold route. Also, the point that Clown brought up in the chat, I even said that on the Sense of Blind episode this past week. How can you call yourself the ring general, and not just let go of the hold? I don't know. This is when you call yourself the ring general, you have to, have to back that up. That's all I'm gonna say. I've been kind of disappointed in Cody Rhodes' title reign because it's the exact same route as Bryan Danielson back in WrestleMania 30. The chase was so big and the build was so important and so exciting that when it eventually happened, it's like we're done with it. It's Twin Peaks all over again, man. Like the build was too great and I've had enough of Cody. It's just, I'm so sorry for all the Cody crybabies out there. But like if he had compelling storylines and credible competitors, this wouldn't be the case. Just saying. It's the absolutely exact same thing with Liv Morgan, by the way. Liv Morgan has zero credible competitors over at Raw. And this is something that Sean has been saying on the post shows on Raw. At this point, Liv, Dominic, and Raquel can be in a totally different story outside of the Judgment Day because they haven't actually been an important part of Judgment Day. Also, Judgment Day ever since Priest left and then Rhea Ripley left. JD and Finn lost their tag team champion. Oh no, they haven't lost their tag team championships. No, they're still champions, right? Yeah. Okay. So that's the point. They're doing nothing with those tag team championships on Raw. And like it's weird now because I actually want to see, the champion. Like we've been having tag team championships, number one contenders tournaments and everything that the War Raiders actually won. This is a I hope that the War Raiders actually beat Judgment Day and they do something with those championships, because you, oh boy. The other match that happened but also didn't happen was Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. What do you think of that entire thing that transpired between the two of them?
You know, I think people wanted that match, but I think also people knew what way the match would go. So it made Kevin Owens look more... It made Kevin Owens look like Kevin Owens, like the Kevin Owens that we're used to. And I like that. I do like that. So I'm very curious. I think we will see Cody versus Kevin at Survivor Series. At least I hope so, because I do not want Cody Rhodes involved in that Bloodline match at all. So that's one thing that I definitely want. I do not want the... Kevin Owens, he's so good at being a jackass, and you know, like, he's just amazing. And I would be perfectly okay with him beating Cody. I think it would be great. I know they're not going that route, but it's unfortunate. But I could see... The thing is, I could see it. I just don't think it'll happen. But I didn't mind the way they did it. I knew who it was too good to be true for us to have seven matches. You know? So, God. It was just, I was happy just getting 6.5, if you want to say that. I mean, it was good. I enjoyed the show. I think maybe because they had extra matches. I think the five stuff, just five matches, just... Come on, you know, let's get a little bit more for our money, or I don't know what you want to call it, but it's one of those things where I like where they're headed with Kevin Owens. I know that much. I am curious to see if he ends up what I would like to see, and I'm probably the only one that will say this. I would like him to kind of... Not necessarily buddy up, but I would like him to be kind of like a role model for Grayson and Theory. Because those guys, like, you know what I mean? Like, just kind of teach them the ways of being, like, worse than they are. I think it'd go a long ways. Because Seth Rollins tweeted something the other day, or maybe it wasn't tweeted, maybe it was an interview, I can't remember. He made a point that he goes, wrestling doesn't have many heels right now. Or WWE. And he's right. They could use some more. And this is a good way to go, I think. If you can some way get them involved more. I know a lot of people don't like those guys, but they're doing their job. You're not supposed to like them at all. And that's the one thing. It reminds me of Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin was so damn good at his job. And the fact that they let him go is baffling to me, because... He's just that good. He was good. Like, he had what I call change the channel heat, because people could not stand him. But the problem was, sometimes they would change the channel because he was on TV, because they couldn't stand him. Now, granted, they didn't do him any favors with that dog food stuff with Roman, but like Happy Corbin and like Sad Corbin. That was my favorite. Like, I thought that was amazing TV. I really do. Because everybody started kind of rooting for the guy. Yeah. And we wanted, like, him to do good. And I liked him when he went to NXT. I thought he was good. I didn't really understand the Apollo Crews team up, but it actually wasn't bad after a couple matches. I kind of got it. I don't know why they didn't keep him. But I know he's going to be fine wherever he goes. If he does go somewhere, if he goes to AEW, or if he just does independent stuff, he can make a lot of money doing the indies, because even I think Sean said that people have already looked into it. I believe that's what Sean said. Like, there's already, maybe it's some promoters are already interested in trying to get him. And I could see that. I think he would be great to bring in. And he's good on TV. And I could see him doing, like, hosting a cooking show. Like, I totally see that. And he's a guy that I could honestly see Triple H bringing back down the road, maybe. I can definitely see that. So.
Yes, thank you. Like our wonderful, wonderful, handsome Lord of the Rings father, Chris, mentioned in the chat, there are different, you know, reasons why people don't like theory. And this was something that I was going to bring up. So when it comes to Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, yeah?
I was just going to say, I didn't think about that when I was talking about it. So that's a good point.
Yes. Well, I just go ahead and think that people are pretty much trying to not think about that. So concerning Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, I do feel like they did what they could, and I actually enjoyed this for once, and I actually think that this was the right move to take, because Kevin Owens gave officials a stunner, and then Orton gave Adam Pearce an RKO. So the thing is that now this gets stretched out, and this is something that I would enjoy watching over and over, and I'm not ready to see it end because it's too good not to watch. And this is me saying it. I'm actually interested in a program that Randy Orton is a part of, which is something that you will never hear me say. This is a me problem, okay? Not Randy Orton's problem. I just could never get into anything that Randy Orton was a part of. So this is good. And also the fact that I've been begging WWE to put Adam Pearce and Nick Caldis in a ring together and them to have a match, because Adam Pearce was pretty vocal on Twitter. He was like, so Randy Orton gives me an RKO and Nick Caldis is nowhere to be found. And I'm like, yeah, okay. This was entertaining. Also, I don't think that Nick Caldis is done in the ring. I was pretty sure that Adam Pearce was. But Nick Aldis he's not ready to be retired. Thank you, Chris, for the super chat. He says, do they even have Randy Orton in Bulgaria? No, they do not. He's not unlike RVD. He's one of a kind. One of a kind. Okay, that was lame. Sorry. So the interesting part here was that on last week's SmackDown, so Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes were in their locker room getting ready for their tag team match. And Orton was like, I'm going to kill Kevin Owens. I don't give a crap. And Cody said, please save me some and I'm going to owe you one. And Randy Orton kept doing that thing. He glanced at the championship that Cody is having, which is also exciting because not only is Kevin Owens wanting to face Cody Rhodes in a match for the tag team title, whatever you want to call it, but also Kevin Owens' past friend, now enemy, Randy Orton, who does that as a favor also for Cody, not only for himself, but for Cody Rhodes too. He also wants Cody's belt. So this is good because it keeps you guessing, oh, what's going to happen and everything. It's good. And it's interesting television. And for once, the Bloodline story isn't the only story that keeps me glued to the television while I'm watching SmackDown. Because the Crown Jewel did open with Roman Reigns and the Usos versus the Bloodline 2.0. What got me most was that the Saudi crowd likes what Tama Tonga's doing with his voice, and they repeat him after him. That I pop big for that. And obviously WWE socials did also, because they retweet that all the time. It's been almost a week. It's been 6 days, and they have not stopped retweeting that. So stop. It's weird. And what's awful here is that because of that Saudi crowd, I think it's entertaining now. And I really don't want to say that. So what happened was that we finally saw the Usos back together as a tag team. Jey Uso didn't want to tag in Roman Reigns, but at some point he did. Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa got a face-off. They fought with each other. Then for some weird-ass reason, we got a ref bump, and it got nowhere because if the ref wasn't down, nothing happened. I mean, it was kind of awful, or maybe I just glitched and didn't see something that I was supposed to see, but like that's fine. So Roman Reigns got pinned. Sami Zayn did try to save the original bloodline. He was pretending he was going for a hug with Solo Sikoa, but then he turned it into an exploder suplex and everything. Yeah, he was about to do a chalupa kick, but then Solo Sikoa moved out of the way, so he kicked Roman. And they were like, oh my God, did he do that on purpose? No, he didn't do that on purpose. What grade are we in? Have you been watching wrestling ever? This, like, why are men so emotional? That is the weirdest thing. So, like, on this week's Raw, which was taped in Saudi Arabia, Jay was like, was that on purpose? And Jimmy was like, yeah, of course it was on purpose. He doesn't like that. And then Sami Zayn got a pretty good point. He was like, you're the one who bring me into the family in the first place. And you're not a bad person. You just make bad decisions. And I'm like, okay, are you talking to me? I feel like you're talking to me. yeah, you're also talking to Rob, but like, obviously. Jay begged Sammy to come to SmackDown just so they can talk the shit out. Roman did say yeet on SmackDown last week, by the way. So he's totally in. So it makes me anxious to see what happens next. Tell me, what are all your thoughts about this Bloodline story? And did you like the match? Was it all over the place like it was for me?
Yeah, I enjoyed the match. I thought it was pretty fun, and they did go all over, and I did enjoy the Tama Tonga stuff. I get a kick out of that myself. I think it's great. The way Crown Jewel ended, typical coexisting, no pun intended. That's what they're going with, and tonight on SmackDown we'll find out, because you know, Jimmy or Jay invited him to SmackDown. Sami Zayn, that is. You know, Sami's going to show up. We already know Roman Reigns is going to be there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. It's intriguing, because I think it's easy to realize that where they're headed with this. We're headed towards a War Games match. We've been headed to this since pretty much the debut of. I knew it was coming, like, with Jacob. I mean, pretty much WrestleMania. Like, after WrestleMania, we knew something would be going on eventually with a War Games match with the Bloodline, one way or another. So, I'm very intrigued to see where they go with this. And, yeah, you know, it was good. I liked the ending. I mean, it was predictable. Like, when you saw them across from each other, I'm like, okay, Solo's gonna move, or somebody's gonna push him out of the way, and he's gonna just get, and they're gonna hit each other or something. I think story-wise, I think it would have probably made more sense for Roman to spear Sammy instead, like if Sammy's knocking him out. But now that I think about it more, it either way, it does add more intrigue to it, and we'll have to see what goes down on Smacketh Down tonight.
You're right about this, about Roman spearing Sammy, because Sammy did say that he was out because he was tired of having his loyalty in question. So this was a perfect line from him, because this was his place in the bloodline when he originally was there. We did have a super chat from our friend Eric. If you go back and find it, we can put it on the stream. Please and thank you. Yeah, so Eric says Kaiser versus Gunther for the Raw title will be great. Also, I'm off Twitter, so I hope you're both doing well. And if New Day splits, should they feud for a title? First of all, Kaiser versus Gunther will be absolute slapper of a match any day of the year. I'm glad that you're off Twitter, because it means you're taking care of your mental health, and you should do that 100%. I'm happy. And I really don't want to talk about New Day splitting up, because I'm not ready and I will cry. Rob?
Yeah, they're not, I don't think they're going to split up at all. I don't see that happening. I think this is a way to maybe get them back in the good graces. I think they're going to be the ones that take the titles off of Judgment Day. Still, I think they are going to be the guys that do that. So what I'm hoping happens is, just like everybody else, I'm hoping that they bring Big E in just to kind of not, like, get him, like, back on track. And I think that's what they're going with, because they've been hinting this for way too long. And that to me, that just tells me that they're going this route, because I'm not saying Big E's going to get cleared. I just think they're going to bring him on TV to kind of say, what the hell are you guys doing? You know, that's what I hope they do, because that would make, it would make good sense, and the crowd would love it, and you just get them back on track. I think it would be good storyline. So yes,
absolutely. Reminder, guys, please leave a like on the video. It's really important to us. Also, you can send in your super chats and your humper chats, as we are getting into some NXT talk, which I mean, we have to, but do we have to at the same time? So NXT this week was going head to head with AEW Dynamite, but we are going to talk about NXT before Rob tells us an amazing Cooper Fact story. So NXT ran in the ECW arena on this Wednesday 6th. So a lot of things bugged me in this show, but like a lot of things bugged me on both shows, NXT and Dynamite. But like, so NXT opened up with a match, Jada Parker versus Lola Vice. So I've been pretty vocal about this. So as it turns out, the only reason why they did that for me was because HBK watches Coexisting. I don't know. Like, this is the only reason they did that. So this was the first ever hardcore match, which is another big pet peeve of mine when it comes to wrestling, because they get, you know, excuses to call the same match different names. It's a no DQ match. It's a no disqualification match. It's just that. The only thing that differs is false count anywhere match, or a last man standing, last woman standing match, or anything. It's the same fucking thing. It's an ODQ match, and they called it the first ever hardcore match in NXT history. And I'm okay, fine. And these are two wonderful, wonderful women who are the future of NXT. I adore Jada Parker, and I love Lola Vice, but lately it seems like Lola Vice was up there with the women's title picture, and then she took like a water skiing vacation down, and like now she's used to put over other women. Not that I don't mind, you know, Jada Parker being put over here, because for me, she got really good really fast, and I adore Jada Parker here. Apart from her fucking finisher. Okay, her finisher is a butt to the face. So I'm not going to pretend that that's a bad thing. And this is me saying it. Imagine other like men saying it. So she, out of nowhere, a brick was introduced in the ring, and no one will tell me how that brick got there, because it wasn't there one camera shot ago. It just appeared in the ring all of a sudden. Who threw the brick in the ring? Was it Cody? Was it the Denver Broncos? Which, like, so there was a brick in the ring, and Jada Parker smashed the brick in Lola Vice's face. And I'm like, okay, so this is awesome. And then Jada Parker goes for a pin, and Lola Vice kicks out. And then Jada Parker was like, oh, okay, no. And then she does the butt to the face, and Lola Vice gets pinned. And I'm like, okay, so are you basically telling me that Jada Parker's butt to the face is harder than a brick?
I don't know, but I'm sure. You know what? I'm not going to say it. I'm sure it's pretty tough. And it'd be a punch that would feel, I think it, you know, I'm just going to time out. I think it would hurt. There you go. That's what I'm going to say. Merry Christmas. That's it. Happy holidays. See you later. Bye-bye.
Okay.
That's really all I got for that.
Okay. Okay. Then, you know, Bully Ray appeared. Can you mute your mic?
Yeah, you. Hold on.
Yeah, so Bully Ray appeared for his match with Tricky Williams against Rich Holland and Ethan Page. So Rich pins Trick Williams. So Bully Ray was right there. I was like, maybe the only reason that this is a good thing is because Rich Holland can beat Bully Ray. He can pin him. You know, the person that actually Rich Holland was insulting during the premium live event. You know, this was the reason why this match was built in the first place. Because Ridge talked some crap to Bully Ray. So no, they decided for Ridge Holland to pin Trick, which I guess is the reason why they want to do the match eventually, Ridge versus Trick Williams. But the thing I was looking forward to was Trick Williams having a better NXT title reign than the one that he had previously. But right now they're not doing the best. At, you know, this entire situation. Bully Ray pretty much did, you know, made the match about himself. Also with the finish, because when Rich Holland picked Trick Williams, Trick Williams and Bully Ray decided to beat up, you know, the heels. And then, for some reason, Rob, I don't know if you noticed, but they couldn't find a table. And I was like, whatever will they do? I cannot imagine how they can get themselves out of this predicament. And then, oh my God, it's Devon Dudley. Shocking. So he goes out with a table, and then they slam. Who did they slam? Did they slam Ethan Page or Rich Holland? I think that they slammed Ethan Page. I don't know. I really don't care. This was about the Dudleys. And why did Bully Ray get protected in this match? This is the question I have. Why am I irritated so much, Rob?
I don't know, like, Bully, like, I don't get it, you know, that's the thing with bully. I mean, he did the same thing in TNA. He came in and worked a couple of months. I don't see that happening in NXT. I hope it doesn't happen in NXT. I did say before NXT, I just tweeted out, I'm like, Bully Ray's going to turn on Trick, isn't he? That's what I was expecting. So, it didn't happen. It came to mind. I'm like, oh, he's going to turn on him. And this is going to be a match that we're going to get. So, but I was wrong. We'll have to see. I mean, we got Deadline coming up, which is going to be Minnesota. So that's cool. I was pretty happy with that. But yeah, I don't know. Bubba, people liked it. I mean, for the most part, from what I saw, not necessarily talking Twitter, but just based on different reactions on Facebook and just web traffic and stuff, it did pretty well. So, oh well. You're muted.
Yes, thank you. I didn't realize that. they also had Rob Van Dam backstage, and he was talking to Kehlani, and he was like, yes, there you go. He told her, hey, to make yourself look even more badass, you should pin the woman that you're facing for the North American Championship next week. And then nothing like that happened. Like, nothing like that happened. They did end up having some miscommunication. Zarya speared the shoes off of Jordynne Grace, which, give me that match, by the way. So this was exactly what the people in the chat were talking about. Roxanne Perez got pinned 2 times in a row by different competitors, mind you. Different competitors. And I'm like, okay, wasn't Zarya gonna go for the North American Championship? Now she has a legitimate claim for the women's title. And so does Stephanie Vaquer. And I will never stop saying her name like that, by the way. Because in my eyes, Julia should have beef with Cora, because Cora Jade cost her match against Roxy. So this is kind of a mess. I enjoyed the 10 women tag main evented the NXT show. I feel like it was it's been a while since women main evented NXT. Or was it, yeah, Roxy versus Julia, the CW premiere? Or was this the first match? I think that this opened the show. I don't remember anymore, guys. My memory sucks pretty much. But yeah, I was pretty excited to do that, to see women getting the job done. The match was, again, weird, but like the three-way for the United States Championship at Crown Jewel had the same problem that this match had. So when you put LA Knight in the ring with Carmelo Hayes and Andrade, he's going to stick out like a sore thumb. I know that he's been in the business for quite some time, but when it comes to in-ring competition, Carmelo Hayes and Andrade are ring generals, and LA Knight looks like he does not belong there. And I like LA Knight, just saying. And the problem with this match here, that I thought that Jasmine Nix was put in this match just so she can eat the pin, because I enjoy Jasmine Nix's work. I think that she is a future star. She's a future women's champion, but not now. And when you're in the ring with so many women that have made a name for themselves and are so good in the ring, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. And I enjoy everything that she did in this match specifically, but it was really limited to the things that she could. All the moves that she executes are done almost flawlessly, but she needs more time in the ring, and she will get there. I do believe that she does get there. But yes, if you have anything to add about the NXT show, you can. And if you cannot, let's go into the I was about to say the super effect. No, the Cooper effect.
Before we do the Cooper effect, I'll just go over the card for tonight's New Japan Fighting Spirit Unleashed.
Yes.
Show looks really good tonight. It's on New Japan World, I believe. Otherwise, it's on Triller. It's on one of those two, New Japan World or Triller is where you could watch it. But Sean interviewed Rocky Romero yesterday. Really good interview with Rocky. Rocky's awesome. Rocky's one of my favorite people when that Sean interviews. So definitely give that a try tonight if you wish. If you're looking for something after SmackDown, give it a watch. It looks really good. But it has a hell of a card too. Tonight you have the kickoff strong survivor match, Matt Vandegrift versus Seabass Finn. I love that name, Seabass Finn. We also have a non-title match between David Finlay and Kevin Knight. The New Japan Strong Openweight Tag Team title match, TMDK, Mikey Nichols and Shane Hayes taking on Grizzled Young Veterans. Singles match between Mustafa Ali and Leo Rush. A best 2 out of 3 falls tag match with the West Coast Wrecking Crew versus Dirty Work, which is Fred Rosser and Tom Lawler. You have the New Japan Strong Women's number 1 contender 4-way match. Anna Jay, Trish Adora, Hazuki, and Koguma, I believe. You have a tag team match with the Undisputed Kingdom versus Shingo Takagi and Yoda. You have a singles match with Kenta and Rohoi. I think it's Rohoi Awa. And you have Umino and Ishii taking on Bad Dude Tito and Zack Sabre Jr. Takeshita defending his international title against TJP. And the New Japan Strong Openweight title match between Fujita and Gabriel Kidd. So, lots of matches, and it looks pretty damn good.
Yes. To me.
So, yeah.
You know what looks pretty great to me? Our lovely coexisting fans.
Yes.
Quoting Stained lyrics in the chat. I love that.
Yeah. Stained.
Yes. Cooper effect, please.
Cooper effect time. Let's do this. So Maggie, I know in Bulgaria, college football is huge. It is very huge. It's a big deal. I know that...
It's almost as huge as everyone's thumbs up on this video.
Yeah, there you go. Anyways, there's he's a play-by-play analyst named Kirk Herbstreit. And if you watch sports here in the States, or if you watch college football... You definitely know who he is. He's been around for years, and he's really good at his job. But he's an announcer. But what he's done the past 2 years, he's brought his dog Ben with him wherever he goes, like to the different games, even when they're in the broadcast booth, everything. And Ben's been a star. Like people, obviously, he's a dog, so people just love him. But unfortunately, Ben passed away because of cancer, and Kirk Herbstreit announced it, and obviously it's affected a lot of people. And the thing is the reason why this is the Cooper effect is because of the joy that Kirk brought out, like by bringing his dog Ben to these shows, or to these games. And anytime like you do something good, that's what the Cooper effect's about. People absolutely love that dog so much. And there were a lot of tributes on Twitter about Ben. And I'm just going to show you some of the tweets for that. This one's from We Rate Dogs. This is Ben. He was a College Game Day's most beloved face, or beloved face, and his presence at college football game brought joy to millions. Ben passed away at the age of 10. In a post announcing this loss, his human, Kirk, called him the smart, loving, gentle, patient, welcoming him all. Yeah, 14 out of 10 is what they rated it.
He's human, Kirk.
Yeah, and as you can tell, I'm human because I can't talk. But this was another one from the University of Washington. This is their mascot on the right. And it says, I feel lucky to have met you, Ben. So they've, Then Texas Longhorns, where our friend Seahawk goes to school, or he used to go to school. Now I think he works there. Maybe I'm wrong. But anyway.
Yes, he's a grown-up.
Yeah, he is. He made it. The Texas Longhorns, they posted a photo. We're so lucky we got to meet you, Ben. And this was a couple weeks ago. And their mascot is that Longhorn back behind Ben there. So that was pretty cool. Then this is just a photo of the two. Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing. Like, I know it's tough because anytime you lose an animal, it's heartbreaking. But he brought this dog, this wonderful pup, wherever he went, for the most part. And there's a reason why they call it man's best friend, because dogs are just amazing. And this is another one from the University of Michigan. Ben will forever be part of our Rose Bowl memories. As you can see, the players are rubbing his tummy. It's just they all paid tribute to him. This is a photo somebody took of Kirk petting his dog on the field before a game. And this was the tweet that Kirk sent yesterday. This is really hard to write, but so many of you have loved and cared about Ben that I wanted to let you know. We found out today the cancer had spread throughout Ben's organs, and there was nothing left we could do. We had to let him go. I've had dogs my whole life, but Ben was one of one. He was smart, loving, gentle, patient, and welcoming to all. Always a big smile, a soft tail wag. He and I could communicate. He and I understood each other and had each other's backs. He was with me more than anyone at home and traveling with me for work. Such an easygoing companion. Hard day, but he will live within all of us forever. God bless his majestic soul, and thank you for putting him in my life for the last 10 years. A true blessing. Love you, Ben. So, yeah, that was the reason why I wanted to do that. Because dogs, animals for that matter, mean everything to me and Maggie. So, but I want to say thank you for sharing, Ben. Like, I got to see him on TV all the time, and it was always fun to see. So, yeah. There we go.
Shout out to Clown in the chat, by the way, for making amazing cookies and then tagging me in a photo on Twitter. They look absolutely scrumptious, and I hope that they're really, really delicious.
And this is something else, too, I was going to mention. Scott George says, Kirk actually did commentary last night on for an NFL game with Sean Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens. So, you know, that had to be tough. And the thing is that Kirk tweeted was, he said last year, almost to the day, he was in the same hotel room. He had the same hotel room that he brought Ben with him to. So it was just one of those things where, you know, yesterday had to be tough. So, and I know tomorrow on ESPN College Game Day, that's going to be a tough watch, I think, for a lot of people, because I have a feeling ESPN is going to do a pretty good tribute. And there's a lot of tributes on Twitter. So, yeah. So, never met Ben, but love you, Ben. So, there you go.
So, just mute yourself for thank you. So, way to go, Rob, on making our entire chat cry. So, yeah, who's cutting onions in here? I'm not crying, you're crying. such a wonderful, wonderful Labrador that Ben was. So I don't know how you move past that, but we are definitely going to try with a bit of talk about Dynamite. I know that our friend Vasco is that's what he's here for. So, Friday Feels with Rob. Thank you, Rob. This has to be your best Cooper effect. Like you found some pretty good Cooper effects, but this, good luck beating that, by the way, from here on now. just FYI. So Dynamite happened. I enjoy the Hurt Syndicate because MVP, I will be insulted if he doesn't give Athena a business card. I'm just insulted, man. Insulted. Like, she should be in Hurt Syndicate. Just saying. I have a lot of feelings for the Malakai Black and Adam Cole match, and they're not great. I'm gonna give it the benefit of the doubt and just go ahead and say that I'm gonna pin this on Ring Rust. And I feel like Adam Cole is a bit afraid to, you know, to be what he used to be in the ring. I think that he has it in him. I don't know if this is a part of the storyline yet, or because when they get going, it's really good. And this is the same thing that happened against Buddy Matthews last week, and it's the same here. The thing is that as long as this match was, they could have been doing way more with it. At the end, Malakai Black refused to hug Adam Cole's hand, and instead he hugged him. And then the entire internet, you know, started speculating about stuff. And then the Malakai Black went on a live Instagram stream and said that everything was good. He wasn't going anywhere. He's healthy and everything. Everyone thought that this was leading towards Adam Cole versus Brody King because, you know, House of Black. But no, the thing that will happen, because like after the match, they showed a live feed from MJF's house. And I'm like, why would he say yes to that? And he was on his phone and he called someone and he said, I needed to pay someone a visit. And then we saw this person giving Don Callis an envelope filled with money and a ring. So MJF needs Don Callis's help, and apparently we're gonna have Adam Cole versus Takeshita next week. So this is a really important match to be looking forward to, because if, let's say, you can get away with the matches Adam Cole has had the past 2 weeks against Buddy Matthews and Malakai Black, you cannot get away with this type of wrestling against Takeshita. You just can't. So I don't remember who it was. One of our lovely people in the chat. Let me just go back and see, because I don't want to get it. I don't want to. They said that they saw a live show. Oh, Scott. Oh, it was Scott. So Scott said that he went to AEW Dynamite last week, this week, and said that Takeshita is a large, maddened person. Yes, George, I'm so sorry that I couldn't remember that this was you. Absolutely, yes. Takeshita always looked like, for me, that he's a mountain of a man. Especially with me being 5'1". So I'm kind of anxious to see what this match turns out to be. And the thing that is the most stupid thing in the world for me. So Adam Cole says that he talked to Tony Khan and said that if both him and Roderick Strong win their three matches, if both of them do, then they will get a three-way match, triple threat, with MJF at Full Gear. And I was like, why? Why are they having a triple threat? Why is this triple threat match happening? Why is no one talking about this? And if you are, be more loud, because this is something that I'm going to need the answer to. Why would you have a triple threat? The only reason why you should be having a triple threat is for a title, because two competitors are equally worthy of having a championship match. But like, why is this? So the only reason this could be happening is that because I can see Roderick Strong just pinning Adam Cole, like right out of nowhere. I don't like, can you explain me why they're having a triple threat match? Because I, for the life of me, if the chat, please chat, I adore our lovely coexisting fans. Please explain to me why this triple threat match is happening, and you have the floor.
I think you hit it right on the head at the end there. It's so somebody can either pin Adam Cole, like I think Roderick Strong's taking the pin is what's happening. But I don't know. They haven't explained it, or if they have, I didn't catch it. But I don't think they've explained it. So that's really all I can say about it. I don't get it either. I don't understand the point of it. I mean, did Roderick say something that he wanted to fight MJF because of what he did to Cole? Is that what it is? But if that's
a, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's what he said, or if he did, I don't really recall it. But you're right, it doesn't make sense, because if it's a triple threat match, then you have Cole and Roddy going at it. And I mean, I know friends wrestle friends all the time, but I don't get it. But we do have another super chat.
Yes, a super chat from D'Lo Dix. He said, "Hi, love you. Gotta go do wrestling show stuff. Please go and do wrestling show stuff." Thank you, D'Lo. By the way, Supi says that because both Roddy and Adam want to get their hands on MGF, they could have had a handicap match. That's not it. That ain't it. That is not it. If they both want to get their hands on MJF, you do a handicap match, not a triple threat.
Correct. I'm going back on mute.
Why would you go back to mute? This was your.
Well, no, because that's all. That's all I had. That's all I had.
It's really weird. Yes. Roderick Strong did say right at the beginning that he wanted to get his hands on MJF as well. But like, because this entire storyline is kind of clunky, I understand that Tony Khan wouldn't sign a handicap match and MJF wouldn't allow it. But like, why would this... Because for me, the thing is that if... The more interesting thing will be if Adam Cole won two matches and Roderick Strong won two matches, then the third match would be them, the two of them facing each other. And then the winner of that match goes on and faces MJF. Because what this is telling you, that Adam Cole or Roderick Strong would pin the other person and MJF will not be pinned in this match, like whatsoever. I don't know. It's just you. You could have not done that. You could have not done that. Yes, that's what MJF did, the promo with the lady rubbing him down. Yeah, I. Yeah, I understand that he said that you could win three matches. That wasn't the point. That wasn't the point I was trying to make. But the thing is, you could have just not done that. It's just the weird. It's the weird booking. I don't know why I'm all of a sudden not interested at all about this. But having in mind that Will Ospreay return at the end of Dynamite, because this was, I'll tell you what I like about Dynamite. So Ricochet was like, I found someone that was pretty pissed off at Don Callis' family because no one renewed their contract, and now they're pissed off as fuck. And then Will Hobbs comes out. Welcome back, Will Hobbs. I've missed Will Hobbs. And so Ricochet teamed with him against Kyle Fletcher and Takeshita. Kyle Fletcher and Takeshita are amazing together. Kyle Fletcher is the future of that company. And if you don't agree with that, then I don't know what to tell you. You don't like wrestling. Amazing, amazing in the ring. So good. He did that weather thing with his freshly shaven head. It was so entertaining. He did the weather news and everything. I mean, he's a really funny person. You can tell that he's really funny. And I'm gonna enjoy that. I suppose that we're heading towards Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay at Full Gear, which is something that I will enjoy. And at like Ricochet ended up challenging Zack Sabre Jr. Yes, please. Please. Everyone's happy. And this what a wonderful way to say goodbye to 2024. It's at the beginning of 2025, right? Yes. What a wonderful way to welcome the new year, and probably let it not suck more than this year, because it was pretty awful. What did you think of this entire, situation? And I understand that Adam Cole and MJF thing isn't for you. It's not for me too right now. I'm just looking forward to next week's match with Adam Cole versus Takeshita, because this is the real challenge for me, for Adam Cole, ever since he came back. So Will Ospreay's back and Will Hobbs is back.
So I thought, I mean, I think I'm with a lot of other people when I say this. I thought that Will Ospreay was going to be the mystery partner for Ricochet, but I was pleasantly surprised about Powerhouse Hobbs because I completely forgot that he was good to go. And my favorite thing Maggie to say is they made it make sense for Will Hobbs to be pissed. I like that. That's what we call
Yes.
good stuff, pal. As long as you make it make sense, I like it. So they did good there. Plus, I think Powerhouse Hobbs being a face is going to be really good for him and the company. I really do. Because people already liked him, like when he was a heel. So being a face is going to just help him even more. So I'm anxious to see that. I think he can go a long ways being a face with that in that company. Seeing Ospreay back, obviously good. So I think we'll probably get him versus Fletcher at Full Gear. I almost said Full Metal Jacket. I was like, well, that's not even close. But Full Gear. And so that's a match I think we're getting. I mean, it could be a tag match, I guess, but I don't know. We'll see. But I did like that. I'm still enjoying the Death Riders BCC stuff. I'm getting intrigued by it. So I like that, where they're going. Do I think Orange Cassidy will defeat Jon Moxley? I do not. I don't think that's going to happen. So, but we'll see. I just don't see it happening because I think they got to keep this going a little bit longer. I don't know. Right now, I don't know who would be the one that would take that title off of him. I do think it's probably Darby, like in the long run. I know, I didn't mean to make you throw up there, but if I had to guess right now, that's who it would be. Even though I don't know. But yeah, I've enjoyed it, and I thought Dynamite was pretty good this past week, and
Mute yourself. Thank you. I do feel like it's going to be Darby, and I will give AEW this. They have protected Darby, and they have built Darby up to the point where he's a credible opponent, and he's a credible person to dethrone Moxley. And that is the way to do it. It's my fault. He's not my type of wrestler. I mean, he's like, I wouldn't enjoy him dethroning Moxley because in my eyes, it's not believable. But they make it make sense in order for him to be the one to do it. Just so I can make it clear. The most wonderful thing that I find fascinating about the Death Riders is that everyone wears a white t-shirt and only Marina Shafir wears all black with that briefcase and kicks ass, man. Like, she kicks refs out, she punches people, she slaps Yuta around like she's his mother. He's just so good. I'm enjoying Marina Shafir so much. She hasn't said a word, and she looks like, okay, she said one thing, but like, she looks like the killer in that group. Like, she's, oh my God, I'm enjoying, and she's, I feel like no one else in the women's division can fill her shoes. She's the perfect person to be in that entire group. I'm looking forward to that. So Claudio and Pac versus Darby and OC being a non-finish, I don't mind that, because for them to build people to face Moxley, it's important for them not to get pinned. And I will always give credit to wrestling companies that actually think about that in the long term. Because like Supi mentioned in the chat, Takeshita is probably going to get pinned next week. And I don't want to see that happen. And I'm sure that you don't want to see that happen because you don't like your champions getting pinned. This is the way we started off the show. Yes, Supi also said, also Christian will fail his cash in on Darby because of Nick Wayne's turning on him. They have planted those seeds. They have planted those seeds with Kip Sabian. So, the funny thing is, Christian was like, okay, Kip Sabian saved my cash in because he knew the BCC were going to attack. Kip Sabian saved me while the rest of my children did nothing. So, okay. One week, Christian didn't give a flying fuck about Kip Sabian. And now, it's as if Christian is the manliest man, the toxic man on earth, and Kip Sabian is the whore of Babylon. I mean, like, it's... one is chasing the other so much. So, like, I'm enjoying this because I like seeing Kip Sabian on my television in a storyline that is intriguing. Nice little nudge to Taz and the ECW thing because they were going head-to-head. I like where this is going. I want to see Nick Wayne versus Kip Sabian. Kip Sabian is so underrated, man. He should be given his flowers.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I do. I think that Nick Wayne turning is going to be interesting if that's the route they go. But Captain Peter Quinn says, is Kip going to do a double turn? I could see this happening too. Because I don't know if it's necessarily time to turn Nick Wayne, like, to a heel yet, or to a face yet. You know, that's my opinion. I don't know. I kind of think him being under Christian's tutelage is good.
Mm-hmm.
So
It is.
Other than that, before we wrap up, Maggie, there was an announcement today by WWE that they are heading to Toronto for Elimination Chamber at the Rogers Center, formerly known as the Sky Dome in Toronto.
Guess who's going to Toronto?
Sean Ross Sapp.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Not me. Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's taking place. They announced that.
Happy for all my Canadian friends that get to go.
Yeah, happy for the Canadians who get to make it to that show. Sky Dome is where WrestleMania 18 was, right? Yeah, with Rock and Hogan. So I think that was 18. Maybe that was 7. Eh, who gives a damn? I can't remember. I used to be able to name every WrestleMania like match like till about WrestleMania 12. I used to be able to do it like I could do it in order, but then after WrestleMania 12, it just went bye-bye. So, but anyways, Maggie, plug your shit.
Will you mute your mic?
Yep, I will.
Thank you. Guys, you can follow me on Twix or Twitter or whatever, at Maggie_IK. Yes, Toronto, Captain Peter Quinn. where was I? At Twix or Twitter at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. Rob, what?
No, I was just going to say, yeah, I do that every time and I know it's Toronto. Toronto.
No, it's Toronto.
No.
The only people from Toronto pronounce it Toronto.
Well.
It's just Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah, you can unmute yourself and plug your shit too because I'm done.
Oh, okay. Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram and Threads at Fightful Rob. You'll see me on Instagram and Threads a lot more than you will on Twitter. So just let you know that. I want to say thank you for tuning in. We will be back next week and we will be on time. That I can tell you. So. Guys, I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you enjoy SmackDown if you watch it tonight, or if you watch AEW Collision tomorrow, or New Japan tonight. I just want to say thank you for watching wrestling. Because of you, we get to do fun stuff like this. And, yeah, so peace on that. So, I want to say thank you again. We will see you guys next week. So, see you later. Big gulps. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play, like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a MyLowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals on holiday decor, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards. Because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.